And I'm going to review that rather quickly of 12 principles that I believe are important in growing a good church from God's word. They're not my principles, but I have used them down through the years, and I've seen God marvelously bring about tremendous growth in the three churches that I pastor. Certainly wasn't me, but God did it. My first church, we started out with 15 and got up to nearly 200 before we moved to our second church. And that church was running about 250. We built that up over almost 700. And then the third church was in Charleston, and God pulled that up to about 650. And we were so thankful. That God gets all the credit, folks, all the credit. But we followed principles that God will use. And principle number one I gave you, because that's where it all starts, the desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If a church people do not desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, you're not going to have that happen. And I gave you five results of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Number one was to be intoxicated with the life of the Spirit. You remember we pointed out to you, be not drunk with wine, but be what? Filled with the Spirit, which is the very opposite of world's intoxication. But when you have the Spirit of God controlling you, your life is different. It's different. I thank the Lord for that. Secondly, to be energized with the power of God. He told the church, the disciples at Jerusalem, go back to Jerusalem and wait there until the endowment from God on high, chapter 24 of Luke. Thirdly, to be enlightened with the knowledge of God. And we pointed out to you in Ephesians 1, verse 18, some thoughts there that it's great to have that Holy Spirit enlighten us. I am one of probably the few people that ever read the Bible before I was saved. But I was looking for God. I never did find him. He found me. But in my look for God, I read it and I couldn't understand a word of it. You know why? I couldn't be enlightened because I didn't have the Holy Spirit of God residing in me. Number four, to be enriched with his grace. And we pointed out that the grace of God is so tremendous. And we pointed out in Psalm 16, verse 11, that wonderful verse there. So I won't have time to go over it again tonight. And then the fifth one was to have our hearts enthroned with his leadership. The Holy Spirit does not desire just to be present. He desires to be the president of our lives, to be in control, to make those decisions for us. And thank the Lord we can have those decisions in him. Now, let's move on tonight. Tonight, I want to do two more. And then on Sunday night, I want to do four more. And my last night here, Lord willing, I want to do the last four. And so I want tonight deal with principle number two, that is the conversion of lost souls. Now, if you start with the book of Acts, as you go over there, you will realize, go to Acts chapter 1, very familiar reference there. And in this, first of all, in this conversion of lost souls, you need to have a passion for lost people. Well, where does that come from? I have to be honest with you. I don't have much passion for politicians, but the Spirit of God can give you that. We find in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, be ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be what? Witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and in the utmost parts of the earth. Of course, we're dealing with missions there. Now, folks, let me say this to you, and I want this to come out as right as I can make it. It's good for you to have over 40-something missionaries. That's good that you're reaching them out there, but you got to reach them here too. You got to reach them here too. And I believe the average church is reaching them out there, but doing very little to reach them here among our communities. And we need to realize that comes first by a passion that we need. And I want you to turn with me to the book of Jude. You can choose any chapter you want, since there's only one. But if you find more than one chapter, you better throw that Bible away. Jude chapter 1, if you will, please. And as you turn there, Jude, by the way, an interesting book, a little book. And when I think about Jude, he But beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation. In other words, his whole goal in writing this book, his whole thing was to be salvation. If you read the book, it didn't turn out that way. Because he became aware, and the Holy Spirit led him to preach against the apostasy in our churches. And we need to preach against apostasy. We need to preach against apathy. We need to preach these things that are going to hurt our church. I'm going to get on later how to keep the church pure. But then he'll save the last part of this book, this chapter, only one. Look at verse 20 on down, if you will, please. Verse 20 on down to verse 23. As we look at those verses, you'll see several things. I have entitled those verses, Light Living, A Right Living in a Wrong World. Right living in a wrong world. Now notice there, if you will, some thoughts here. In those three verses, verse 21, after he makes a statement in verse 20, I'll go back to verse 21, 20 in a moment. But in verse 21, I'll try it again. Verse 20, 21, 22, and 33. These four verses, you're very interesting. Because he doesn't forget the need of the lost. I have to tell you, in my ministry down through the years, I have preached on different subjects. I remember the year, the sermon, my preacher, one of my assistants came to me one time and said, "Preacher, do you realize what happened this morning?" I said, "I preached on giving." He said, "Do you remember what you preached on?" I said, "I hope I do. Do you remember?" He said, "We have folks saved here in the service this morning." Now, how can you get people saved while you're preaching on it giving? Because that's the Holy Spirit's job, not my job. And the Holy Spirit did that. But he knew we also in our church had a passion. Now, I want you to notice in verse 20, you have four looks, three looks, pardon me. In verse 20, you have the upward look. But ye, beloved, build up yourselves in the most holy faith. Build up yourselves. Now that's the upward look. I hope we're building this church, everyone. You say, "Well, I hope the church is building me up." You need to help build yourself up. I need to help build myself up. But you, beloved, building up yourselves in the most holy faith. Notice these words, and I underline these words. Praying what? In the Holy Ghost. Note those words. Praying in the Holy Ghost. When you are praying in the Holy Ghost, your prayer life is directed by the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost. Things are going to happen. It's going to happen. That's why I call that the upward look there, because that deals with God, the Holy Spirit's ministry in our lives. Then after he deals with the upward look, he deals with the inward look in verse 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God. What a statement. I don't know if you've read this little chapter very often, but I'd suggest you read it more often. Keep, the word keep is guard yourself. Make sure your love for the Lord does not decrease. Stay close to the Lord. Now, these two verses here, the verse 20, the upward look, and verse 21, the inward look, prepare you for the outward look, which is the next two verses. But let me complete verse 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ in eternal life. Now, he's bringing up mercy here. Remember verse 21, the inward look. Keep yourselves in the Lord Jesus Christ, and God, have a spirit of mercy. We're living in a merciless age. I've had people tell me this. I hope Biden burns in hell. I say that's a terrible thing to say. We need to pray that that man gets saved. Really gets saved. Now, he's counting on his Catholic religion to get him there, and it ain't going to get him there, pardon me. I will never forget when my mother passed away, and my mother was a Catholic. Converted to Catholicism. It's the only time I ever preach in a Catholic church. I said, could I give a testimony? asked the preacher. I didn't call him father. He wasn't my father. And he did. And I could tell he was uncomfortable because I gave the whole plan of salvation. Amen. But I wanted mercy in that church that day. And we'll forget it afterwards. He was studying around. He says, well, your mama is with her God now. And I thought to myself, you really don't believe that. She has to go to purgatory first. Well, my point of it is, we need to have pray for mercy on people's soul. God saved me. God saved you. And you may not have lived a horrible life, but you were a horrible person. Needed salvation. And every one of these people needed as well. That prepares. So what does he do? We have the upward look. Build yourself up. The inward look there. The love of God. Looking for mercy. And then he deals with the outward look in verse 22 and 23. In verse 22, and some have compassion, making a difference. Do you have compassion tonight? And I'll tell you, I have to be blunt. Only the Holy Ghost can give you passion for people. Only the Holy Ghost can do that. Do you have a passion for people? I don't know how many times that I have led people to Christ that I had to get on my knees and say, oh, God, give me a passion. I don't have a passion for them. And when I had that passion, God saved their soul. God used me. He wants to use all of us today. And then he says, look in verse 23. For here, he's dealing here with hell. And others save with fear, pulling them out of what? Out of the fire. What's he talking about, hell? A soul that is saved is literally jerked out of the clutches of hell. That's what we need. Hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. And so he deals here with a passion. Now, passion comes only when we're building up in the faith. It only comes when we have mercy. And that only comes through the Holy Ghost. And then as we have compassion and pull them out of the flames of hell. I tell you, we need a revival today about hell. We've air conditioned it. We've air conditioned hell. We just don't think it's as hot as it used to be. But it's a very, you've heard of Jonathan Edwards? He preached that famous message, Sinners in the Hand of an Angry God. You know that Jonathan Edwards was so unable to see. His vision was so bad that he held a manuscript up this close to his face and read his manuscript. And while he is preaching that sermon from the Holy Ghost, people were hanging onto the pews, afraid they were going to slip from those pews into hell. Now that's what we need today. But it comes only as we get a passion for the lost. And I tell you what, you need to pray, and I need to pray daily. Oh, Holy Spirit, give me a passion for the lost. Give me a passion for the lost. Then think with me there, not only a passion, but you got to have a plan. You got to have a plan. Develop a plan. I'm not going to ask you to raise a hand on this, but I hope every one of you could lead someone to Jesus Christ. Taking the Bible, open it up and say, I could show you how to be saved. If you don't, we ought to go over a plan. I'm not going to go do that tonight. If you need to, I'll be glad to talk to you. I use the Romans Road. You use what God will lay upon your heart, but you ought to be able to lead anyone and everyone that God brings your way to Jesus Christ. Realizing, and you'll never get them saved till you get them lost. And you have to point out to them their need of repentance. They're lost. They need Christ. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God commendeth his love toward you while we're yet what? Sinners. You got to get them lost. You realize the average person doesn't even realize they're lost? Only the Holy Ghost can do that through you. through me. That's who he operates through. He operates through people. And so you got to have a plan. Now listen to me. The conversion of the lost. Look with me. Go back to the book of Acts. And look with me at some verses here. Because God is interested in numbers. Only to the extent they're lost souls. Now I do not believe in easy believism. But I believe getting saved is easy. Only the Holy Ghost can do it. And if you'll just write these verses down here, note them, in Acts 2, beginning at verse 41, I just want you to follow these four verses. Acts 2 and verse 41, praising God and having favor, verse 41, I'll get it right here, that then they gladly received those words, were baptized, and that same day they were added to them about how many? First church service. They had 3,000 saved on the day of Pentecost. Have you ever thought about this? What would we do if 3,000 got saved? Well, number one, we don't have a building big enough to see to put them all. But now they were from house to house back in those. They didn't have church buildings like we have them today. And then I come to verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to the church what? Daily such as be saved. So you have verse 47, people got saved, verse 41, 47. Then turn with me over there to chapter 4 and look there at verse 4. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of them was about what? 5,000. You got 3,000, 5,000. You've got others being saved between that and passages. Then I go to chapter 5 and I look there in verse 14. And the believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both the men and women. There's not even a number there. Now, God is very interested that our church grows through soul. And we, and I'm going to not talk about this tonight, but one of the things in order for your church to grow is a way to penetrate this community for Jesus Christ. You got to go after them. Now, immediately when I say that, somebody says, you mean door to door? That's only one method. There are many ways to reach your community for Christ. Let me give you an idea of what I'm talking about. We had a move-in list. Our people would knock on their doors and give them a gift, and we had several of them come to church. Hey, man, that church cares for us. And when they came, we had people assign to never let a visitor ever walk out of that church without friendliness being showed. I watch churches. I've done 13 of these interims. I know you don't mean to be cliquish, but if you're not careful, you can be cliquish. You can care about you and yours and nobody else. And that's a tragedy. God help us not to be cliquish, not to have your favorite seat. If you see someone who needs somebody to be sit, sit with them. Show them the love of Christ. And God will do it. God will do it. And think with me this plan that you need to have. And I thought about, you know what the book of Acts is all about? Get there. By the way, I've already said it's not the Acts of the Apostles. It's Acts of what? Acts of what? Holy Spirit. And in Acts chapter 1, verse 9 and 10, the Son went up, Son of God. You go to chapter 2, the Spirit came down. You go to chapter 3 and on through the book, the saints went out, the apostles, and the sinners came in. That's good. That's not mine. That's Bible. Now the Son's going up and the Spirit's already come down, so let's get the saints out and the sinners in. But you got to have a plan. And I'm praying today that this will happen here. And then not only do we see, secondly, principles of, number two, the conversion of lost sinners. How we need that. And I'm going to deal with how to penetrate the community either Sunday night or next Wednesday night. Principle number three is a strong emphasis on discipleship. Now, that's where a lot of churches miss it right there. Right there. There's very little emphasis on discipleship. And you've got to have that. And I want you to turn with me, first of all, to the Great Commission chapter. Turn to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28. And look with me to 19 and chapter 28 and 19 and 20. Look at the verses there. And I hope you have a pen to mark something here. What did I do? Knock something over? Did I? Okay, then I'll do the whole thing. 19 and 20. Verse 18 picks up the context. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto who? Me in heaven and earth. And then in verse 19, go ye therefore and teach. Now the word teach is a word, we get the word disciple. So read it this way. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. So you have discipleship of people. People need to be discipled. Now we're going to show you in a moment how you disciple those people. And it's very simple. Very, very simple. Then baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Now, I know some large churches that practice well verse 19. They win them, they wet them, that leave them. But the third part, discipleship is threefold. Win them, get them baptized, and verse 20, teaching them to observe all things. Verse 18, he dealt with the power. Verse 19, with the people. And verse 20, with the precepts of God's word, teaching them to observe what? All things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Now, the precepts, that's the word of God, so they can grow. Absolutely vital that that takes place. Now, turn with me back to the book of Acts. So you see here the great principle. And far too many churches will win them, get them in the baptistry, and that's on the records. We had so many saved and this and that. That's called the doctrine of baloney. If you don't disciple them, you don't show them how to live the Christian life, you failed. And I failed, you failed. I would win people to Christ. By the way, if you win someone to Christ, you invest your life in that person. If everybody in the church would invest their life in those people, what a blessing it would be. I want to ask you this question. How many have a prayer list of people who need to be saved? You got to develop one. And watch the Holy Spirit work on those people. I got a kick out of my brother. I didn't call him. We just got so busy. Had all these folks from the college in our home for Thanksgiving. And I just forgot to call my brother. And on the other day, he called me, says, John, you didn't call me on Thanksgiving. Now, he's unsaved, and I'm trying to win him to Christ. I'm going to call him on Christmas for sure, go send him a gift, and I want him to be saved. And I have to go after him because, not because he's just my brother, but he's one that God's laid on my heart to win to Christ. And so, we see here the Great Commission. Now think with me over there to the book of Acts. Look there in chapter 2. And look there, if you will, please. These thoughts here, as you look at them, think with me, because these four things help to disciple a person right here. And look there, if you will, verse 42. That's where I want you to look at. Because right here, he's going to list four things that the church needs to help develop that Christian, that new Christian, called discipleship. And they continue steadfastly in the apostles. What's the first one? All right, that's the beliefs we need to believe. That's why they need to be under preaching in a good sense. That's why, by the way, that's why we have Sunday school class to teach. Amen? All right? And so they need to believe the beliefs, the beliefs they need to believe. That's doctrine. Now, the four things, that's where you start out with. So they can grow. But notice the second one. Fellowship. Fellowship. Not only the believers' beliefs we need to believe, but notice here, if you will, please, that doctrine, the truth that is taught. Notice the fellowship that binds us together. Fellowship. You know, I enjoy talking to Joshua when you're a brand new Christian. Aren't you glad he's here tonight?
Yes, sir.
And I hope it'll be others that get saved here. And fellowship. You can't grow without it. And I pray for those who are online who cannot be here because of health. We understand that. But those who can be here, be here. Because we're going to see later, that's God's program for the church. Fellowship. Somebody said fellowship is two fellows in the same ship. Okay. In the same ship. Fellowship. Friendship. Lordship. I love all those ships. So we see here the doctrine, God's truth that need to be taught, fellowship, the ties that blind us, and then the breaking of bread. Now, I think that I have blown it here. I don't think we've had the Lord's Supper enough here under my time here. And that's my fault. Get rid of me. Get the preacher in here. You know why? Because the breaking bread is it speaks of the sacrifice that was paid for our sins, and it puts Christ on the pedestal. And you cannot grow without putting Christ on the pedestal. And then prayer. Not only the truth that needs to be taught, doctrine, the ties that bind us, fellowship, the breaking of bread, the table that speaks of the Lord's sacrifice, but prayer, the throne that guides us from heaven. I don't know what to do every day. My wife has a list, but I also want a list from him. Lead me, direct me, guide me. Lord, thank you. So we see here these things. Now think with me, real quickly, that clock. I wish someone threw that clock away. Turn with me to 2 Timothy. Go over there to chapter 1. I think that's where I want you to be. No, that's not where I want you to be. When I get there, I'll tell you. Be good if I knew where I was at. 2 Timothy. Go to chapter 3. I love John 3:16. I love 2 Timothy 3:16. And as I go there to that 2 Timothy, I'm on first. Here it is. You'll have a preacher here to know where he's doing. That'll be great when you have him here. Look there. Verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. This is why you got to teach the Bible. Just sit right here. And now, please notice this verse, because this is the one, this is the first one on that list in the book of Acts. And as I look at it here, I see here the need that is there. Look there with me in that passage. All scripture is given by inspiration. And then he'll tell us for four things. Why do I read the Bible? Why do I study the Bible? Why do you need to do it? Four reasons. Number one, doctrine. We just talked about that over in the book of Acts, didn't we? Those four things. Now, doctrine there is the beliefs we need to believe. You know who a lot of the converts of the cults are come from? Where they come from? Baptist churches. That's where a lot of them come from. You know why? Because we don't disciple our people. And then the second one is the sins we need to see. He says there, and for reproof. That's the sins we need to see. Have you been convicted when you read the Bible? Oh, I didn't know. I better not do that anymore. I need to change. And then our condition we need to correct, because he not only says the doctrine we need, the beliefs we need to believe, reproof, the sins we need to see, but correction, the condition we need to change. Now, how can you change if you don't know what to change? That's what this book is all about. And instructions is the final one, the instructions we need to instill in our soul. How to live a right life in a wrong world. You know, I don't want this to come out wrong, but I tell you what, I'm tired of turning on TV programs of church and just see people never mind. I'm judging. Quit it. But let our church be a witness for the Lord in our conduct and things we do. So that's the third thing, the principle, a strong emphasis on discipleship. And then the third one, and I won't have time tonight, the commitment to the local church. I'm not going to deal with that one tonight. But I will tell you today, I think I can take 2 minutes to do it, because the other, I'm not going to have a lot of time. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10, the commitment to the local church. You know what a lot of people are going to have to do? Remove chapter 10, verse 25 from the Bible, because they don't believe it. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, not for what? Forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. Now, I don't want people here that are sick. You don't want them here that are sick. I want them to stay home. But I'll tell you this, somewhere down the line, they need to come back. And I'm told that 20 to 30% of people who are staying home watching church on TV will not come back. That's a tragedy. The Bible says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of them. And then he gives three reasons why this assembly needs to take place. Number one, the closeness of his coming, exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see what? The day approaching. First, the closeness of his coming. Secondly, it's a command, the command scriptures. This is a command here. The word in the Greek there is command. He didn't say, you should go to church. Well, whether you feel like it, you do it because it's right. The commitment to the families. Your family, church family, needs to see you here. Everybody needs to see one another. You know why? Because we're a family. We're a family. Don't get over that. We're a family. And we need to understand that principle. Brother, come and have our prayer time. Don't forget to pray for our Supreme Court. Thank you.